Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we turn, well, you can turn, but before I begin to speak upon Luke chapter 18 and the verses 10 to 14, I want to say a thank you to the young ladies who, well, because of the roads and the snowy conditions, were a minute or two late this morning. I want to say thank you to them because they stood outside the door during the opening prayer, and that's very proper. That's very proper. Now, all of you will, at some time or other, have come dashing up to Mommy or to Daddy while they were talking with someone, and you've grabbed them because you had something very important to say to them, and they have turned to you and they've said, "I'm speaking. Just you wait." And from a very early age we have learned that we're not to interrupt someone while they're speaking with someone else. And boys and girls, we can never be engaged in a more important conversation than that of prayer. And from the very early days here in the school, pupils were taught that when prayer is taking place, we must not interrupt. We stay outside the door if we have arrived just a little late. And it was nice to see that observed this morning. So that's why I'm saying thank you. And I hope that everyone just remembers that. Prayer is so important. Speaking with the Lord. Oh, we don't want to interrupt such a holy conversation. So thank you for those who exercised that wise and proper thing this morning. All right, let's turn to this parable, Luke chapter 18, and the verse 10 says, "And two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." When I was with you on Tuesday, I mentioned one very well-known publican who wonderfully got saved. His name was Zacchaeus. And then I challenge you to give me the name of another one that we read of in the scriptures. How many got the name? 1, 2, 3. Come on. 4. Well, that's good. Hands down. How many forgot to look? For I think that that's the main explanation why the rest of you didn't come up with a name. Because we know the name very well. I think I'm right in saying there's only one other publican that we read of who got saved, and that was Matthew. Now, there were many, many publicans saved, but we only get the names of two of them. Zacchaeus, who was a remarkable conversion, and there was a tremendous change in that man's life. Just in a moment. It wasn't a matter of him getting converted and then over a period of years there was a bit of a change. No, in a moment he was changed. Made a new man. He began to show the very opposite trends, habits, thoughts, ways to that which had marked his life up until that moment. I mentioned this. I need hardly go over it again. But from being a greedy, deceitful, and wicked man, he became a tender-hearted, merciful, and generous man who regretted and repented of the ways that he had followed before his conversion. And he gave away a fortune of money. Anybody he had wronged, and I'm sure there were plenty, any who he had claimed from them more in tax than he should have, he gave it back to them 4 times over. Now, that's most remarkable. Most remarkable. But then we read of Matthew. He was not only called in the gospel, but he was called to be an apostle. He became one of that very, 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 very select band of individuals who served the Lord. He was called to the highest office in the Church of Jesus Christ. There was only the 12 apostles. That office never continued after they departed this scene of time. Most unique office. And Matthew was called. And he was called right there when he was sitting at the receipt of custom. That is, he was sitting at the place where the taxes were collected. He was called in the middle of his greedy and wicked pursuits. God called him out of his sin and made him a wonderful servant of the Lord. His account of the doings and the words of the Savior became the first book in the New Testament. Now, that's got to be an honor. That's got to be an honor. In your class, when it comes to writing a story or a composition, I don't know whether you still call them compositions, but that's what they used to call them when I went to school, an essay. If the teacher says this is the best essay today, if you came first, that was a bit of an honor in your head. Well, it sort of got bigger, and you went home and you told Mummy and you told Daddy, and maybe on the way home you told a whole lot of people, I got first. My essay was the best. Now, I don't know if the Lord is saying that Matthew's essay on the life and works and words of the Lord Jesus was the best. I'm sure that wasn't the case, for they were all equal. But somehow or other, to be given first place in the New Testament is an honor. And that honor was given to a man who had been a publican, Matthew. Let's just look at Matthew chapter 9 very quickly. Matthew chapter 9. I intended only to make a sort of a passing comment on this, but sometimes I feel that poor old Matthew doesn't get the mention that he ought to. Peter gets preached upon, and Paul gets preached upon, and John gets preached upon, but we don't often think about Matthew. And yet, Matthew was quite a wonderful person. Verse 9 of chapter 9. You'll not forget that, man. Verse 9, chapter 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Boys and girls, I can't go away from that without making some comment. Look at how brief was the message of the Lord to Matthew. Two words, follow me. That's what getting saved is all about. Before we're saved, we're following something very different. We're going in a direction very different to that to which we will be going in when we get saved. It only took two words to see Matthew saved. Tell me, how many words have you heard and you're still not saved? Doesn't that tell us something about Matthew? How wonderfully, how quickly his life was changed by hearing two words, follow me. That's what Christianity is all about. Great men have written great works explaining the gospel. But in fact, the gospel can be explained in those two words, follow me. That's what the gospel is all about. The Lord Jesus came down into this world, and he has said to countless millions, follow me. And one after another, through the ages, they have risen up and they have followed him. I think it's most remarkable, too, that it says that Matthew was sitting at the receipt of custom. Now, he was engaged in the business of collecting taxes. He was engaged in a business that was marked by cheating and deceitfulness. I've explained that. These tax collectors, they took money from the people far, far above what they ought to do. They charged the people far more, generally speaking, than they had a right to. The Roman authorities let them do it because it saved them the bother of collecting the taxes. And this man, Matthew, was sitting at that very place of business when the Lord spoke to him. It's wonderful how men and women have been saved right there in the midst of their sins, right there in the midst of their rebellion. The voice of the Lord has come to them. We think of Paul, thought of him already, where he was a Pharisee. But he was engaged in the wicked work of persecuting the church when the Lord spoke to him. Boys and girls, let me tell you something. If the Lord Jesus said, I'm not going to speak to this boy or this girl until they stop doing what's wrong, then he would never speak to you. Because you will never stop sinning until God in his mercy changes you. See, the word of the Lord came to Matthew and it stopped him in his sinful practice. Follow me! And he got up and he stopped. He stopped. He just put aside that whole business he was engaged in. And that was the end of it. What life-changing power there is in the words of the Lord Jesus. Follow me. We could imagine him saying, and we could understand him saying, well, Lord, I've only another couple of hours and then the day will be over. So I'll follow you then. We could understand him saying that. That indeed would be a very natural response. But that's not the response, boys and girls, to the gospel. You stop what you're doing and you follow the Lord because he's come to call you from what you are doing, from your sin, and he's come to save you and to start you following him. So he was a publican, wonderfully saved, wonderfully saved. Well, there's other things I want to say about the publicans that the Savior encountered. The Pharisees, we've looked at them, and they didn't want to know anything about the Savior. They opposed him from the very first day. Remember, we mentioned John the Baptist and how he began his ministry just before the Savior, and he had the publicans coming to him and saying, what should we do? Now, the Pharisees also came, but they didn't ask that question, nor did they heed him and get baptized as an act showing their repentance and their obedience to the Word of God. No, they didn't do that. The Pharisees didn't do that, but the publicans did. Among the publicans then, these men that were considered irreligious and ungodly and wicked, among them there seemed to be a greater readiness to heed the Lord. You know something, boys and girls? Heaven is filled with the most unlikely people. People that you wouldn't expect to be there because of what they had been. And you can say the same about hell. It's filled with people that you wouldn't expect to be there. You would have expected them, because of their church going and their religious outlook, to have gone to heaven. But whether you go to heaven or go to hell is not dependent really upon what you wear, but it's dependent upon whether or not you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I want you to see what is written about these publicans. And I want you to notice their readiness, their willingness to sit with the Lord Jesus and his disciples and to be seen in his company. Let's look at Matthew 9 again, the next verse, verse 10. We have Matthew following him in verse 9, and then in verse 10 it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? They weren't sitting down, these Pharisees. No, they were there to criticize. Not to keep company with, but to criticize. But the publicans and sinners were ready to sit down. And it's important. Every word in the Bible is important. I want you to remember that. It says they sat down. Well, what's important about that, you say? Well, it wasn't that they came along and they just stood like those who were only pausing for a minute or two, and that was it. And then they would walk on and have nothing more to do with the Savior and his speaking. No, they came and they sat down. They were going to sit in the company of Christ as long as he was speaking. They were surrendering, as it were, to this occasion and giving themselves up to listening. They weren't just stopping for a moment like someone at a shop window and looking in and nothing of interest there and moving on. No, they wanted to hear. So they sat down. They sat down. And it says they shared the food with the Lord and his disciples. Never be ashamed of the Savior. Never be ashamed of being seen in his company. I must tell you a wee story. It's a wee story that lives with me, and I've never forgotten it. Many years ago, when I was in Bethel, I used to do an open air on a Thursday, which was Mark Day, and there were stalls, I think they're still stalled, on the side of the road, and where Dunn's store is now, that used to be the actual cattle mart, and there were a lot of people coming and going in and out of it, and just across the road from it I used to have a little open-air meeting. It was always a big struggle for me to go, I have to tell you that. I was always hoping that it would rain, and I have to tell you that if it only spot down a couple of drops of rain, that was almost a downpour, and oh, I couldn't go down and have an open air in that. The old flesh was so weak. But once I went down and started, I thoroughly enjoyed myself then, and was ashamed that I was so reluctant. But anyway, we were standing there, we're having an open air, and preaching away, and we had a wee loudspeaker, and it was sounding out round, and I spotted, as you stand facing Dunn's to the right, there's the crossing, and on round the corner, then you're down the main street of Enniskillen, and I saw coming round the corner a member of the church, and he was walking along, and I was glancing at him coming and thinking, you know, this is great, I'll have somebody to stand with me. And he was walking along, and suddenly he could hear the open air, and he started to look around, and then he spotted me, and he turned round and headed back the way he come. He just didn't want to be recognized as one of those who attended an open-air meeting. Well, maybe because it was me, you could nearly excuse him for wanting to get offside, but even that wouldn't prove to be a proper excuse. He should have come and should have stood the open-air witness and said, I too am a Christian. I believe in this message. These publicans, they were happy to sit down in the company of the Lord Jesus. Never be ashamed of the Saviour. Never be ashamed of the Saviour. And don't be put off by the critics who would come along and complain. There's another little verse. It's in Mark's Gospel. It really is covering the same sort of ground, but it's nice to look at it. Mark's Gospel, the chapter 2 and the verse 15. Mark chapter 2 and the verse 15. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in his house, this is the same story. You'll see that Matthew's called Levi there in the verse 14. Sitting at the receipt of custom, the Savior says, follow me, and he rode and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house. So the first thing Matthew did was get up, follow the Lord Jesus, and prepare a meal for him. Let me put it like this. He began to make a fuss of the Lord Jesus. Wasn't enough for him just to follow at a distance. No. He had to make a fuss of the Lord Jesus. Come to my house. Let me entertain you. Let me prepare a meal for you. And for any who want to listen to you. Because he would have been a rich man and he could have put on such a banquet. And so it was in his house that this meal that the Savior is partaking of. And we read that many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus, verse 15, and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. This little scene is repeated here by Mark, and it's underscoring the fact that amongst the most wicked people, there was a greater readiness to hear the Savior than there was amongst those who thought themselves religious. Oh, listen to me, boys and girls. Don't rely on the fact you go to church. Don't rely on the fact that your mommy and daddy goes to church. You go to Sunday school, you go to the young people's. Here you are in a Christian school, but that's not enough. You need to receive Christ as your Savior. The readiness of these publicans and sinners to listen to the Savior, we have already noted in an earlier study in Matthew, the chapter 15. You remember, we were looking at the parable of the lost sheep. And in the verse 1 of that chapter, we have the introduction to that parable. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. There's an important little word there. All. Every publican, every sinner that was in the vicinity of Christ that day, who were aware that he was there that day, they came to hear him. They came to hear him. I tell you, boys and girls, these publicans, they were ready to hear the Lord. and we're not a bit ashamed of being seen in his company and in the company of disciples and sitting down with them, because what he was saying they loved to hear. What he was saying was bringing comfort to their hearts. What he was saying excited them. He was pointing the way to heaven, and he was saying, you too can go there. Oh, what good news it was for them. That's why they love to hear him. Do you love to hear the gospel? Do you? When the bell rings at 9 o'clock, does your heart say, oh great, we're going to hear the gospel? Or does it say, I have to listen to the Bible for a while? The Lord deliver you from that. May you be like the publicans and the sinners. May you rejoice to hear the gospel and be happy to sit with the Lord Jesus. Are you sitting with him today? Is he beside you today? Among your friends here in the school, are you happy to say, oh yes, I'm saved? The Savior's mine. Are you? I hope it is so. The Lord challenge you with his word today. Let's bow in prayer. Take our thanks, Lord. We thank thee for the stories that we find in the Bible. Thank thee for the men and women, aye, and the boys and the girls whose lives you changed. Change lives here, Lord, please. Let there be seen in boys and girls that same readiness to obey the Lord as Matthew showed. He arose and followed him. Answer prayer for our school today. Be with teachers and undertake for us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.